Well, the holiday season is fast approaching, and that means warmer temperatures and big family dinners. Two things that don't always work well together. Bacteria in food can multiply in those temperatures. It's easy in the summer months, so it's important to know what to do to keep your meals safe. I know that it's something I need to know about. All I imagine are warm prawns in the sun. That's all I think about. I think about prawns in the sun. And you want the prawns to be cold and you want to be warm in a paddling pool with a drink in one hand and a prawn cocktail in the other. Cocktails of all sorts. With us today, we have Peter from the food safety team at WA Help. Welcome, Peter. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Pam.
What brought you to work in food safety?
So my background is in veterinary science. So I worked for a number of years as a veterinarian, and I had a particular interest in the primary production of food. So for me, that was meat, poultry, eggs, dairy. Particularly interested in both animal health, but also in the production of safe food. So I'm in the Department of Health, and we have a small food safety team here, which manages a number of activities related to safe food production. And we also work very closely with all the local governments, who do a great job inspecting our cafes and restaurants to make sure that they're meeting their food safety obligations.
Absolutely. Now, it is coming up to silly season, and, you know, people are flinging things into bowls and things are sitting out on big tables while people have dinner. Could you remind us what food poisoning is and how does it happen?
Yeah, sure. And you're right, it's a great time of year with all the Christmas festivities and the yummy food that we do eat. But, basically food poisoning is any illness that's caused by eating food or drink that is contaminated with certain types of either bacteria, parasites, viruses, or toxins. So we can, if you suffer from foodborne poisoning, it can be from very mild effects to very severe. And most people would be pretty familiar, having had maybe some illness from time to time. And the symptoms are feeling nauseous, so sick, diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pains or cramps, sweating, getting fever or chills, headaches, and lethargy as well. And so really it's when food becomes contaminated. So that's food not being prepared safely. Meat might be undercooked, lack of hygiene, hand washing, etc., in preparation of the food, or the food might be touched by someone who also may be suffering from gastro. And then you get that contamination of the food. There's contact of the food with flies, pests, or even your cat or your dog.
Especially if you're outside dining, it's all open to the elements there.
Exactly, and particularly as you mentioned in the start there, the summer months, hotter temperatures, and food is a great environment for our bugs to grow in. So that's some of the common... We do see a rise in foodborne illness over these summer months.
Absolutely. Now, if someone finds themselves in a situation where they do think they have food poisoning, what should they do?
So basically we do advise, obviously, if someone is unwell, they should be consulting with their doctor, particularly those that are more vulnerable, so elderly or very young. And also some of the general recommendations are staying home from work or school, drinking plenty of fluids, and where possible, if you're suffering from foodborne illness, stop preparing any food around the home while you're ill. Leave that to somebody else if you can, and wait for a couple of days after the symptoms have finished so that you're trying to stop the spread of any illness to others.
Absolutely. So what are some simple steps that everyone can implement into their routines, into their kitchens, to prevent this from happening or keep an eye out?
Yeah, so we have some kind of simple advice here. So we break it up into clean, separate, cook and chill. So if we go through each of those, the first step is clean. So washing hands, it's a really important preventative measure. So after, make sure you wash your hands. We're all pretty good at washing hands after COVID, but really making sure that after you, before you prepare or handle food, you're washing your hands. Always wash your hands and dry hands after touching raw meat, fish, shell, eggs, chicken, after going to the toilet, blowing your nose, touching your pets, make sure that you really are washing properly. And that also goes for all the equipment that you use in your kitchen. So your chopping boards, all the utensils that you use, your bench tops, making sure they're clean, using your hot soapy water after use. So that's number one, cleaning. And then the other one that we recommend is separating. So we have different categories of food, and it's a good idea to try and separate the foods that we're preparing. So, for example, our raw meats, separate those from cooked meat, from your eggs, your fruit, and your vegetables. And that's trying to prevent the nasty bugs from going from one food product to another. And we often recommend that if you have, if you can have different chopping boards for the different types of food, so a separate one for your red meat, some for your poultry, vegetables, that's a good way to kind of separate our utensils so that we're not getting the risk of cross-contamination.
Get them colour-coded, people. It's a great hack. Colour-code your little chopping board so that they're all separate.
That's a great idea, yes. I'm colourblind, so that becomes a problem for me, but
okay,
I know a lot of the chopping boards have the little icon, the little image about what they can be used for as well.
Perfect. So clean, separate. So cook is next, is that right?
Yep. Yeah, cook. So especially your higher risk foods such as meat, so chicken, eggs, mince, make sure that we're cooking them all the way through so that we kill the bacteria. And having a meat thermometer is a great idea to have at home. You can put that in. So chicken, we want to make sure that that's at least 75 degrees. If you don't have a food thermometer, then cooking it until the juices run clear and there's no pink meat. Similarly for our beef and our lamb, make sure that we've got at least 63 degrees. The other thing is never washing raw chicken. That's a common practice that some people do. But when we wash our raw chicken in the sink, we're spreading some of those bugs through the rest of the kitchen, through the sink, that might then get picked up in some of our other food that we're eating. So no need to wash raw chicken.
Don't wash your chickens, folks. Don't wash them. All right, so clean, separate, cook, and then chill.
And then chill, yes. So the temperatures in our fridges, we should be keeping food below 5 degrees. So that's a real key. And especially when we're having a lot of dining outside as the warmer months come, we need to make sure that when we've finished eating, we have our leftovers, we put them in the fridge, and that the fridge is below that 5 degree mark where we can keep our food safe from any bugs growing.
Beautiful. Are there any, you know, usual suspects? So we're looking at chicken not being washed in the sink as a usual suspect, but are there anything else people can really super keep an eye on when it comes to food poisoning?
Yeah, we had actually a couple of weeks ago, we had National Food Safety Week, and we were sort of highlighting some of those raw and risky foods. And really it comes down to some of those higher risk foods such as our meat, poultry, eggs. Any of those things that are not cooked properly can be a bit of a risk. And then also our seafood, yep, at Christmas time we love our prawns and other seafood. Just making sure that we keep them at the right temperatures. After we've got any leftovers, we make sure that we're putting them back in the fridge straight
Absolutely.
Away.
And what's the best way to store leftovers? We all love leftovers, but it is a lot at Christmas time. So what's the best way to store them?
It is best, obviously, to store them in the fridge, but the challenge is we've got so many things that we want to store in the fridge at this time of the year, so it can be tricky to get everything in. So I guess we don't want to overload the fridge, because if the fridge is too full, then it does impact on the ability to keep things cold. So if there are some things that may not be needed in the fridge for that day or the following day, take them out. If there are some other things that can be put into an esky with some ice, so that we spread that load on the fridge to make sure that it is able to maintain the temperature below 5 degrees. That's probably best. And use your freezer. If you can freeze some of those foods, that would be well advised too.
Utilise your freezers, people. You know, it's a secret little compartment in there. Get it being used. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Peter. Where can listeners find out more information about this?
Yeah, if listeners go to the Healthy WA website and just do a search for food safety, we've got a lot of information there, things that are fact or fiction, so people can find out some of their practices at home, whether that's good practice or not. And also with summer coming and potentially some challenges with energy, there might be occasions where the power might go off. Just a few tips on how to be prepared for that and what to do when the power does go off.
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much. People will definitely get in touch and have a look at all that stuff on there. It'll be very handy, especially as it comes into silly season. Well, I wish you a lovely silly season, and thanks for giving us all those beautiful tips, Peter.
That's great. Thanks, Ben.
That was Peter Gray, Managing Scientist, Food, Environmental Health and Public and Aboriginal Health, Department of Health, Managing Scientist. Clean, separate, cook and chill, people. That's what you need to do. If you came halfway through that chat or you want to restream it, jump on rtrfm.com.au to catch the whole thing. We're talking about food safety, especially an important topic to be covering during the silly season. For more information, absolutely jump on the Healthy WA website, healthywa.gov.au.